At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Comeback Stories is a production of Inflection Network and iHeartRadio.
What's going on, everyone? It's Darren Waller, tight end from the New York Giants. Excited to welcome you guys back to another episode of Comeback Stories. I'm here with my boy, my brother, my man, Donnie. Donnie, how you doing today, bro?
I'm doing well. Welcome, everyone. Yeah, it's great to be here. Great to be carrying the message of recovery, healing, transformation, and that's exactly what we're going to do today on our episode with our guest, Trent Shelton, who is actually coming back for round two. Trent, how you doing, my man?
Man, I'm doing good. You know, thanks for having me, Donnie and Darren. And it's always great to come back, you know, to a podcast. So I'm grateful for you guys having me.
Since the last episode, there's been a lot of adversity, a lot of pain, a lot of change, a lot of loss in your life. So I think I'll ask you the same question I just asked you, but maybe with a little bit more sincerity of how are you doing?
I'm good in this current moment. It's been a tough season for me over the last few years, but you know, I've been able to battle a lot of things mentally, spiritually, and it's led my relationship closer to God even more. It's allowed me to sit down with this injury and be able to connect and focus on the things that really matter. So I would say even in this storm, it's definitely helped me find just goodness in my life and focus on the things that truly matter.
What do you feel like matters that maybe didn't matter before?
Yeah, just presence. Like, you know, my family obviously mattered before, but just even, you know, losing my mother and then my grandmother, all these things that happened, it just made me realize, like, you know, we don't have forever. You know, forever comes with an expiration date. And so it's made me sit down and be able to enjoy the small things, the things that really matter, the memories that could be made, whether it's playing outside with my kids or going to a trip or just doing the most random things that mean everything. Because when I look back on my life, it's those moments that were so simple. I call it simple happiness, that I miss so much with those. I can't create it no more. So that simple happiness bug has bit me, and I'm like super excited about creating simple moments that mean everything.
I feel like you have the perspective to be able to enjoy the simple moments that come from an adverse situation like this, because a lot of people may not know that you've been facing pretty substantial adversity much of your life. Could you take us through some of your childhood and some of the adversity that you faced early on for people that haven't heard your story?
Yeah, for sure. Just childhood wise, you know, my childhood was pretty good. I grew up in Louisiana, the youngest of two older brothers. My biggest adversity was the thing of like having two older brothers, and I always had this success guilt where it's like, man, the attention's all on me, but those guys helped me become who I was. Like, it was always me versus them playing football and basketball, but it was always that thing of like, man, I don't want all the attention. And I think honestly, that instilled a fear of success for me my whole entire life, even now working through this, because it's like, man, if I'm successful, like, what am I gonna lose? Are people gonna be jealous or all these things? And so I had to work through that limiting belief. And my biggest adversity was sports, man. After college, you know, going to NFL as a free agent and bouncing around, getting cut 8 or 9 times, being very unsure of my situation, you know, day to day, you know, coming off the practice field and getting released and like, what am I going to do now? So that was tough. And in that process, me just having a son, like, how am I going to provide for my son? Who am I without this sport? So that was the hardest thing in my life, trying to find an identity outside of something that's been my identity my whole life.
I'd like to ask real quick on the success guilt thing, just from a personal level. When you said those two words, it really resonated with me on a lot of levels. Just, I had that same thing growing up and had a brother a year and a half older than me who achieved a ton of success, like more than most, athletically, let's say, but maybe compared to me, it wasn't as successful. And so oftentimes I would find myself very uncomfortable receiving that acknowledgement. And I've seen that show up in my life later on, where when I am acknowledged, I'll often want to diminish or dim my light, if you will. So I'm curious for you, like, how have you seen that show up for you later? And what was some of the work you did to release that old story?
Yeah, man. I think even right now, just being totally transparent, I'm still working through that, because all the compliments that I get are, you helped me do this or you helped me do that. And all the accolades, which really doesn't do anything for me. And I've always kind of downplayed it and pushed it away. And I realized that in my mind, that really helped me to shift was like, man, I'm not being grateful for the blessings God gave me. You know what I mean? Like, I should be able to honor those blessings and feel good about it, because the people in my life that are truly happy for me, they're going to be happy for my success, happy for my happiness. And I realized that the wrong people, yeah, they might have a problem with it, and that those aren't my people. And so I've learned to really acknowledge it. I've learned to accept it. And it's really helped me, because I felt like in me not accepting the recognition or whatever it may be, it was almost like my purpose and my gift became a burden, in a sense. And I was like, I never wanted that to be a thing. So I acknowledge it, but I always point it back to God as the reason of who I am and the purpose he has for my life. And that's really helped me. But to be totally transparent, it's something I struggle with to this day.
I want to stay on what you said about people thanking you for what you've done for them. I want to ask you, do you feel like it's easy to slip into like being so caught up in helping other people that sometimes when it's time to maybe help yourself, that it may be a little difficult? Because I find myself in that area sometimes. I'm like, people of addiction, like I do so much for them. I speak so much into the lives of people with mental health awareness, and I'm, you know, kind of like out here on the front lines of it. But then sometimes it's like, when it comes to my own thing, sometimes I feel like I kind of struggle. Do you feel that way at all?
1,000%, man. And this was exposed to me. It was, I don't know who it was that said this. It might've been like Andy Minio or something like that. But he had said in a tweet that like he has talked about God so much to other people that he's forgetting to actually talk to God for himself. And that resonated with me, like on a spiritual level, but also on a personal level. It's like, yeah, I'm doing all these things for everybody else. I'm pouring in everybody else. I'm making sure everybody else is straight. And I'm not giving that to myself, right? And so I'm kind of in this season right now, and it seems like a selfish season, but it's not. It's more self-aware. It's just like being my unapologetic season, where I'm really focusing on me so I can be the best me for the world, for the people who follow me, for my family, and making sure that I'm giving to myself what I'm trying to instill in them. So it's a process, man, that I'm working through. But I realized when I didn't do that, my cup was super empty and I was running on fumes. So I think it's important to sit back, relax, have time to disconnect for yourself. And so for me, that's early in the morning, late at night. I call it reflection therapy, to be able to give myself and my life what I need.
Wow. I think that's amazing. And this just reaffirms why Darren and I wanted to start this podcast, where they may see two or three individuals up here talking that ultimately are preaching these things and teaching these things. And I think you get like 60 million listeners every week that are listening to you do your thing. But I think it's important to remember that we are, as teachers or coaches, that we are still tripping over the same things that we're teaching all the time. Like, we are in this work with you every single day.
Absolutely. I mean, once you stop being a student, then you stop learning. You know, even if I'm teaching, I tell people all the time, and they say, like, how did you know I'm going through this? And I was like, 9 out of 10, either I've been through it or I'm going through it right now. I'm just sharing my experience with it. And so I never position myself as an expert. Like, I'm an expert at this, expert at that. My expertise is just going through this progression of life, and I'm sharing my journey with you. Yes, there's some things I might know a little bit more about, but I'm sharing and being an open book. And I think that's what, you know, you talked about the 60 million. I think that's what has allowed me to be successful, is I'm not at the mountaintop telling you how to get up here, right? Even if I've been up there, cool, but I'm like back down hiking this struggle with you. And so even over the last few years, me being open and sharing my journey of like, this is what I'm dealing with, this is what I'm going through, but also this is how I'm getting through it in real time. And I know that builds a connection with those that follow you, those that watch you, because it's like we're inspired by perfection, but we're impacted through truth, through purpose, through progression. So I'm always trying to show people like, yeah, this is what I'm going through right now, and this is how I'm getting through it.
No doubt, man. There's three students that are on this conversation right now, that's for sure. But I want to ask you two guys, because I know you guys could be teachers on this one subject. I know both of you guys had to reach a point where it was a transformation of your identity from leaving your sports and the pain that caused. I know there are a lot of people out there that may have certain dreams or see themselves doing certain things, and for some reason or another, they have to go into a different direction. And that separation is tough. That transition is tough. Can you speak to some of the emotions that come with that and what it looked like practically to kind of cut your way through everything that may have been trying to hold you right where you were?
That's the hardest journey that I faced, for sure, is trying to understand who I am without that identity put on my name, right? And it's just very, very hard. And, you know, as an athlete, I mean, I talk to athletes all the time, and that's some of the things that I help them work through, is like, man, there's more to your life. And we hear these things, but sometimes we don't want it to be more to our life. I know I didn't at that time. Simply put, for me, it came with me facing my reality first, right? My reality is that this is over. My reality is I don't even love it no more. My reality is I'm just in it because I don't know what else to do in my life. And so there has to be another chapter. And my biggest fear, man, was not having another chapter to my life outside of this. And so I faced that reality. I dealt with it. I always say, you'll never win your war by running from your battle. So that was hard. And then after I faced my reality, I had to release some things in my life, you know, and whatever that looked like at the time, maybe it was my circle, maybe it was the identity. You know, I had to burn those bridges where I knew I couldn't go back. I had to move forward. The last part of the process is the repair process. And, you know, we have these voids in our life, but we have to be able to repair. And repair to me means putting the strength back into a weakness. And that was a very hard process, but I ended up finding my purpose. I said, okay, well, what qualities can I take from this thing that I spent so much of my life on and apply this to my real life? Perseverance, endurance, how to deal with adversity, hard work, all the things that we learn as athletes. And I say, you know what? I want to put this into my current work. And at first, you know, wasn't nothing happening, right? It wasn't like it was an external like validation that this is it for your life. But I always tell people this, and simply put, for me, because I get this question a lot, like, how did you know like this transition was right for you? And the best way I can put it is it was the peace in the midst of uncertainty, in the midst of chaos in my soul, that I knew this was what I was created to do. Even though there was no external like validation of it, internally, I knew that this is what I was created to do. And once I really locked into that and stripped away, and I'm still stripping away, like I still miss sports. That's why I tore my Achilles now, thinking I'm an athlete still and trying to play my nephew outside in basketball, and that ruptured. But I'm still working through that process. But now I realize that, man, you know, there is something more to my life because I listened to that piece and not necessarily my circumstances at that time.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel.
Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Man, hearing your shift into this other identity, into this other life, it gets me thinking about how rare that is and how many people don't find a way out. And for me, the transformation happened because of an addiction and because my life was so painful, so self-destructive, hurting so many other people that I had to surrender. But that's not where like this new identity and this new purpose came from. For me, like I've heard your quote say, your transparency leads to transformation. And that was the moment. It was like progressing and gaining these spiritual tools, becoming a yoga teacher, becoming a coach, and then ultimately sharing my story, sharing the pain, sharing the shit. That was the moment that I shared that at this event, like everything changed for me. But I'm so grateful that I was able to find a way out, because I work with and talk to so many people that haven't found a way out or never found a way out and ultimately ended their lives through addiction or mental health or suicide because of it. So for me to be sitting on here with you two and just knowing, Trent, you're doing all the same work. You didn't have the addiction. You found a way and kind of had that awareness and courage to step into it. But it's been the greatest gift. And now to be able to teach that back to athletes, Darren was one of the first ones that actually completely stepped totally into this. And you know, he was doing music and you know, now the podcast and his foundation, and he has all these other things. So football is just a platform to reach people, you know, and I'm speaking for him right now, but it's so much bigger than that. And all you got to do is just look at what number he is this year for the New York Football Giants. And that says everything.
Yeah, that's major. And I want to just ask even Darren on this like question, because I'm just curious, like with your transition, because I noticed that about you and I love it how, you know, you have so many different facets that you're like, you know, yes, I'm a football player. Cool. But, you know, these are the things that I care about. While I have this platform, I'm going to push these things. Like, is it tough doing that? You know, like, is it ever from the fans like, oh, like you should be focused on this or that, or you should be a football player? Cause I know the box that people try to put you in. Like, how do you handle that part of it? I'm just curious.
Yeah, there is that. That is a reality. So, if we look at just like music, for example, I've been doing music since, I got suspended from the league for over a year in 2017. I was really locking in on music. And I put an album out when I was in Oakland in 2019. And that was when like, I really started taking off and making a name for myself. And my performance on the field, and I was playing every game and doing well. And people were like, oh, the music is dope. Like, they're playing in the stadium. Like, nobody was really saying anything. You get a couple people that was like, oh, I'll stick to football. Like, but that is what it is. But this past season, I was putting out videos and stuff like that I had filmed in the summer before training camp even started. And I think I put one out. I'd already scheduled to put it out like on a Friday, and it was after we had played like a Thursday game and didn't win the game, and I had been injured. And so people were like, what is this? Like, you don't care about the game. You don't care about the craft. And so that kind of became a theme. And I think like people kind of like picked up on that, and like it just became like a cool thing to do. And it's tough, you know. So it's like, you know, people look at your performance and it's like, if you're performing to my liking and entertaining me to the level that I would like, I'm going to let you live. I'm going to let you do what you do. But if you're not, nah, we need to stick to your day job. And, you know, people don't really know that I'm not doing the music to be popular or to have this brand. Like, this is just me doing something that I love to do. I would do for free. I would do if I never posted it again. And it's just a great balance from everything that football demands, you know? And so I've received that. I've received that with a lot of things, and you got to kind of learn to focus in and be like, a lot of these people came in because of the performance. Some people are here for me, but some people are here for the performance. If the performance isn't always there, because I'm an imperfect human being, and it's not always going to be that way. You got to risk being able to lose some of that, because that's not the deep, affectionate, unconditional love that we long for. That's and we have to be able to find ways to differentiate from that. But that's not to say it wasn't like a little bit stung a little bit, you know, because these are people that were your fans and support you and all that. But it's all learning. It's all recognizing like, okay, like this is what it is, but I can't let it deter me from doing what I feel called to do, because I feel like I have a voice in this music. I feel like I have a voice in these activities that I do. I'm not just out here putting out a whole bunch of nonsense. You know, I feel like I have something to say, and I want to communicate it in the way that I want to communicate it. But also at the same time, everything that I do, like Donnie, a quote you always say that I love is, how you do something is how you do everything. And so I'm going to be excellent in everything that I do and not short one area to put more time and effort into another. And just stand tall on my convictions and feel good about what I see when I look in the mirror. And because I spent way too much of my life worrying about what other people's opinions were of me.
Wow, there's a lot there.
That's dope, bro.
A couple things Darren touched on. Well, when I hear you so clearly articulate how you stay focused, how you find your center, like that shit doesn't happen overnight, and it doesn't come with a ton of work and discipline and focus and whatever the practices are that you've had and continue to level up to find those practices, right? To be able to eliminate the noise. And yeah, the dedication that you've had to find that. And a lot of it is also getting to the core wound of this, like, not enough, not black enough, different story, right? And I wanted to actually segue that into Trent's story, because I think, Trent, I've heard you say before that the first time that you ever felt like you weren't enough was when you got drafted, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, I wasn't drafted, right? So I was waiting 2 days. I was supposed to fifth or sixth round, but it didn't happen. And that was the first moment of my life where, you know, obviously I was telling everybody I was good, I was okay, I'm not worried about it. But deep down inside, I was hurt. I was like, man, like, am I not good enough? Like, you know, I put up the numbers, like I ran what I was supposed to run. Like, what's up? And at that moment, I was like, man, maybe I'm not cut out for this. And I went through a little bit of what I now know, like a small form of depression, until my phone rang, you know, as a high priority free agent. And then that shift happened. But even going in there, you know, you're starting off the bottom of the totem pole. So even then I'm like, man, like, am I even supposed to be here? That's like the first time in my life where I questioned my skills, my ability, and just myself in general.
How dark did that get? Like, what was the bottom or the darkest place, that not enough story, or that maybe just the transition, if you even fast forward to when you knew football wasn't going to be a reality? Like, where did you go?
Yeah, so I went to the things that I probably shouldn't have went to. You know, I went to the drugs, the alcohol, the clubbing, all the things that numbed it, you know what I mean? And I was saying that was self-care, right? That was my thing. I'm just taking care of myself, right? That's the self-care that I thought was self-care at the time. But really, it was me running from my reality at the time. And my lowest point had to be, 2009. And, you know, I've told this story before, but, you know, I was with the Seahawks. They released me and I was back home in Dallas. They called me and said, hey, like, we want you to come, you know, up here. So I rushed home from Dallas to Fort Worth. It was about like a 45-minute drive. Throw some stuff in the suitcase. You know, I'm on Facebook at the time telling everybody, I'm going back. You know, I'll tell my parents, everybody's happy. I get to the airport. And I can laugh about it now. I wasn't laughing then. But I can get to the airport. And I get to the airport and, you know, that 206 number calls. And I'm like, it's weird. Okay, hey, it's like, have you left yet? And I was like, nah. And it was like, well, we have the plans on things. Like, don't leave. Like, we'll bring you back later. And they never brought me back. So at that moment, I was like, I was so hurt, and I was like, man, you know, I felt like that door had shut. I didn't love the game anymore or anything like that. And I just really felt like, man, you know what? I'm gonna just go live my life. I'm gonna just do the things that I know make me feel good. And I ran to those things. And obviously that just filled a void temporarily and dove me in a deeper depression.
What we suppress turns into depression, right? That's another one of your lines. I mean, there's a lot of stuff as I'm revisiting our conversation and just how much first, I want to just re-acknowledge you for how much of a inspiration you've been in my life and always showing up and then watching you on stage live. Like, there's a lot of motivational speakers out there, but Trent's like on a whole nother level. In addition to the level of authenticity, just his stage presence, and then what he's talking about is, you've always just spoken right straight to my heart. So thank you for that, man.
And I appreciate it, man.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Trent, I want to enlighten the people about what you talked about on our first conversation was the dark work. I don't think people may know about that or have an adequate definition of what that is. Could you explain that to everybody that's listening?
Yeah, it's just the work that you do in the dark. It's that work that doesn't get celebrated. You know, the athlete, I'm telling this to my son. We worked out this morning in the garage. I'm like, this is the work that sucks, right? But you fall in love with this work because this is the work that, when you show up on the field and you're doing the thing, people call you lucky, but they don't know that you put in this dark work over time. And so whether it's sports or whether it's mentally, it's the prayers, it's the getting into your word, it's the reading the books, the things that aren't sexy that nobody sees. It's the working on your craft. It's the being addicted to the mastery, right, in your craft and really putting your best foot forward with music, whatever it may be. And nobody sees that process. But then those are the things that really help you shine the light, right? Those are the things that people celebrate you for. And those are things that people recognize you for. So the dark work isn't sexy. I always say progression is an ugly road that leads to a beautiful place. So, you know, I get this all the time, bro. Like, they're like, oh man, you're overnight success. I'm just like, what? I've been doing this since 2009. Like, go look at the dark work of the videos on YouTube where I'm like, ah, that's terrible. But I was still proud of myself for stepping into that moment. So that dark work, man, is the things that aren't celebrated, but it's the reason that people will celebrate you, you know, maybe in 2 or 3 years or a year when that harvest actually comes from the seed that you planted.
Mm, yeah, because there's so many in this world today, I feel like dark work bankrupts this idea of a pain-free, completely comfortable, obstacle-free experience that we all want, you know, like no matter, you know, even today, like, with the discipline and practice I have in place, sometimes I wish results and certain things would come faster than they do. It's just kind of in us as human beings. But I love that term and that idea, because if we could get that into young people earlier on, like, this pain, this suffering isn't breaking you. It's not going to keep you down. It's actually going to help you build. It's actually going to help lay a foundation for anything that you're going to try to do, anything that you, any challenge you may come across. If we could just circulate that message, I feel like that could go a long way more than anything else you may explain. Just like, hey, when you get to something hard, go through it, stick with it, embrace it, because one day you're going to look back on it and be grateful for it, as opposed to run from it or numb from it. It's a big deal because it's all across my story. I'm a drug addict and an alcoholic in recovery because my addiction formed because I didn't want to feel things. Like, that's really the basis behind my using was I just don't want to go through that. I don't want to feel this. get rid of this as soon as possible. I don't want to have to sit with it and deal with it and work through it. And that's why I feel like this, just the messaging behind that is so universal. And I had to get you to speak on that for a couple minutes.
For sure, man. I appreciate that. And you said that word suffering. Like, I think suffering comes with a negative thing. Like, yes, there's, I always say choose your suffering. There is a negative suffering that I like to say usually comes from regret, because you look back and like, man, I wish I would have, but there's a positive suffering, right? Suffering builds perseverance, builds endurance, builds faith. You know, we have to go through our suffering, you know, in order to get to certain things in our life. And so I've been trying to, even with myself and my kids and the athletes I'm around, or just people in general, like, you know, there's certain things that you got to go through to be able to get to the thing that you want. So this is a part of it. So enjoy it. You know what I mean? Celebrate it. And, you know, sometimes it's hard for people to accept that. But, you know, I think when they look back and realize like, oh, this is the sacrifice I got to make in order to get this. And they realize, you know, like this is a part of the process in order to be great.
It makes me think of another Trent Shelton quote. That's the only way to harbor true strength is to conquer the pain at its deepest level. And I'd love to ask you, I can't imagine any more pain than the loss of a parent. Like, what has that been like? What is the dark work and the grief, and how is that grief, that grieving process continuing to unfold as you really lean into that pain?
Yeah. That's definitely the hardest thing ever. You know, losing mom, and especially for me, mom was, you know, my biggest supporter. I always give her credit. My dad too. My dad is phenomenal, but mom was the one bringing me with her to conferences and like instilling this in me. And I even know that, you know, at such a young age. And so, seeing her go through her suffering, you know, and the thing that I tell people, like, what really changed it for me, you know, when you see, man, it's tough. When you see your mom, you know, for 6 months, you know, in hospice, and she's still keeping faith. Like, she had brain cancer, she had breast cancer, she had liver cancer, and she's still keeping her faith. And it's like, this is a different type of a faith that I've never seen. She's still thanking God even when she's dying. And the day that she passed, you know, I got a call at 4 a.m. in the morning. I already knew what it was. My dad called me and I went over there, and I had just seen her 2 days before that, and she had her hardest day. Like, she was struggling to breathe, everything. Like, I thought I was gonna lose her in that moment. And when I went over there after she passed, I just looked at so much at peace. And the thing that I told my mom on that Friday before she passed, I said, "Mom, you're healing. You know what I mean? It's okay, you're healing. You don't have to fight. Like, you're healing, it's good." And she left that Saturday night, early Sunday morning. And when you see somebody, you know, with a body bag and put it in the, you know, the hearse, is just reality. And so I made my mom this promise to take care of everybody. And I put that burden on myself. And I wasn't even allowing myself to heal because I was making sure everybody else was okay. And it got to a point, man, where I was looking in the mirror one day. And this is what really turned, I call it, my grief into my greatness. And there's days, bro, even today, like when I'm about to be on stage, let me text my mom, or 4th of July, like, I'm like, dang, it's the reality that she's not here, but she's still here more than ever. And I remember probably a year after she passed, man, I was in the bathroom, and I remember looking in the mirror, and I was at a very, very, very low point, very low point. Nobody would know because I was smiling for the camera, you know, but I was really dying behind the scenes, as I say. And I just had this thought, you know, I thought about my kids, and I said, man, passed away, I wouldn't want to be the reason why my kids gave up. I wouldn't want to be the reason why they lived in the depression. I wouldn't want to be the reason why they stopped going hard. Like, I would want to be the reason why they went harder. You know what I mean? Do it for daddy. You know what I mean? Let's go. And I sat there and I said, man, my mom was such, like, she worried about everything, bro. Like, she would call me like, like, I pray for you to take out the trash. Are you okay? Like, she worried about everything. So I said, like, I know my mom is worrying right now. If she can happen to be able to see this, right? She's worrying. She's sad because her baby boy and even her boys, like, they're giving up. And at that moment, I said, man, I felt these words, and I don't know if it's true, but it's certain. I said, my mother, mom, I know you can't rest in peace until I'm living in peace. And that switched everything for me. I said, now is the moment where, yes, I'm going to go through my hard times with grief, but I'm going to make sure she stays alive forever. I'm going to make sure the legacy is carried on. I'm going to make sure generations have, we have generational healing, generational health. You know what I mean? I'm going to make sure of that because she ran this race of life and I refuse to allow that race to be in vain. I need to do my part. So I got the baton. And at that moment, it changed everything for me, just like that. And now the tears are happy instead of sad tears.
Wow.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Thank you for sharing that. I mean, I'm thinking about as you walked us through that and hearing how she used to worry about everything, but really at the end, what most people are so worried about, dying, there was this unshakable faith where she was mirroring and modeling that unwavering faith when she was about to leave this earth. So to be able to plant that seed for you and the way that you turn around things, and maybe this is something that you've talked about before. Maybe you can touch on this, those three questions that you'll ask maybe if you're stuck or you're needing a perspective shift with how am I going to respond? What does this mean to you? Or what does this mean to me? And then how am I going to use it? And then maybe touch on that last piece where you say, instead of saying, what does this mean? It's what is this going to mean? So maybe you can touch on that. You can articulate it a lot better than I can, but I'd love to hear about it.
Nah, that's it, man. You know, I talk a lot about, and if anybody can give me a title, I would say I really help people like shift their perspective, right? From their prison to their power. I think perspective is everything in life, right? We can look at a thing and we can see the worst in it or we can see the best in it. And I've been living by these words because of that. And it's a simple phrase that helps me shift. And the words are, it could be worse. It will get better. So I always tell myself that when I'm going through a hard time, it could be worse, which it could. It will get better. And that helps me shift into my power of my perspective. And so perspective, I like to tell people it's like a set of lenses, right? It's like your set of lenses of how you see the world. We can't control the experiences most times. We can control the meaning we give to the experience. So I always say like life is not about what happens to you. It's about the meaning that you give it, right? It's about how you use it. If you're down at halftime, you're not going to be like, oh, this means that, you know, we ain't coming back. As an athlete, we know now this means we're going to have a comeback. That's what this means. We're going to mean the Patriots with Atlanta. This means we have the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history. You know, so that is kind of the mindset that I've taken to everything in my life when something happens.
Whew. That's different right there, man. I read a quote a couple of days ago. I think it's Mark Twain. It said, the ancestor of an action is a thought. And like you just put such great wording to it because somebody can't write a new story, write a comeback story without first the perspective of this is worth writing or I have the power to write it. Experience and healing and wisdom is going to come for me to write this story. And it's a choice in every single moment. But a lot of us, we feel like there isn't one, or we aren't present to the fact that there is one. We're not present to the fight that is there right in front of our face for us to take that perspective anytime that we want to. And it's just, man, it's crazy. And I keep going back to thinking about your mom being at peace, right? And it kind of goes back to thinking, I want to ask, is it like, was her treasure of her heart in the right place? Like the things that she valued her entire life and sought after allowed her to be at peace. Whereas most people at that point in life may be fighting for, if I could have one more moment, if I could have one more chance to, if I could have a little bit more time with my dad or my brother. It's like, are people just not focused on the right things? Are people like, are we eternally distracted in a way? What do you think that speaks to?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think we are distracted. I mean, more than ever, right? We live in a world full of distractions. And I like to tell people, like, fulfillment is what matters, right? You could have everything and not be fulfilled, and we know it. And you're not going to be at peace in your life. I've seen highly successful people. I've been there at the point in my life where I have all the success, right? I check all the boxes, but I'm not doing what I truly love. And there's a sense of like, man, I'm not fulfilled in life. And I've had the opposite where, yeah, I'm not checking off all the boxes as far as in the world's eyes, but I'm checking off all the boxes that I care about in my life. Kind of what you talked about earlier, what you do in music and the things that you care about, the podcast, you're checking off those boxes. So you're having that sense of fulfillment, that sense of meaning, like I'm doing the things that mean something to me. With my mother, and it's funny you mentioned that, man, because I'm currently writing my book, Protect Your Peace. And I talk about that in the process of like even athletes. I say, you see the athlete that has peace in the big moment, like maybe the last second shot, it'd be Jordan or whoever it may be, or the big time catch, you know, fourth down. It's just like they have pieces because they prepare for that, right? They position themselves for that over and over and over. They suffer in those practices for that. And so when I look at my mom's life, yeah, she died in peace because she lived in priority, right? She died in peace because she lived in priority. So like the things that mattered to her, she did those things. She spent time with her kids, right? She instilled the things in her kids that she wanted to instill. She had the values and like she lived a life by that. And I took that. And one of the things that I tell people today, and it kind of hits people in the heart. And I say, you know, the thing that I realized with my mother, because when she died, like I was in my phone, like I was listening to like, even like the Jay Electronica song with Jay-Z. I don't know if you heard it, but it's like literally to the T of what I was dealing with. Like I'm scrolling texts all day long, like trying to find things my mom left me. And then it hit me. It's like, it's not about what she left for you. It's about what she left in you. And her car went back to the dealership, right? Her jewelry got dispersed through her family. Her clothes are still there. Like all the things, all the possessions, like they didn't go with her. You know what I mean? And so I realized like, wow, what did live on is everything she put in us. And so this quote I created from this, your life is not multiplied through your possessions. It's multiplied through your purpose. So if we want to multiply our life, we want to continue to live on. We want to continue to create change even when we're no longer here. It's all about purpose because our possessions die when we die, right? So that's really taught me a lot about that process of like what matters most, what's going to live on even when I move on, you know, and transition. And so, it's something that I'm trying to live by day.
It sounds like everything you do and how you show up each day is ultimately to protect your peace. And I know that's the name of your next book. So maybe we can bring this all full circle and you can just share a little bit about the book, why those words protect your peace matter so much to you. And when that book's going to be coming out.
Yeah. So, the book comes out in January, 2024. It's words that I've been living by, man, since 2011. And protect your peace means different things for everybody, right? But the thing I like to explain is it's hard to experience peace in your life, right? When you're trying to control things that are out of your control, right? You'll never be at peace. So peace is being able to let go of control in situations and just be good with just trusting the process, being good with trusting God's plan for your life and say, you know what? Everything is going to work out. Peace doesn't mean the storm doesn't exist, right? It's not naive to say, oh, the storm doesn't exist. No, the storm exists. But I have peace in knowing the storm shall pass. That's where my peace comes in. So I can learn how to dance in the rain. I can have that gardener's mindset and celebrate the rain because I understand that the rain, just like in the real world with a gardener, it's growing the garden. And it's also growing things in my life. It's growing my faith. It's growing my perseverance, my endurance. It's growing my what me focus on what really matters. And so it's 9 principles in the book, Thrive in a Chaotic World. And, you know, it's broken down into 3 sections. So I break down protect your peace in these 3 sections. The first is protect your energy, right? I mean, we do that by disconnecting often. We do that by setting boundaries. We do that by knowing our worth. We give energy away so freely. And as if we have an infinite amount. That's why we live in a world full of burnout. We live in a world full of stress because we're not taking care of our energy. The second part of the book is protect your mind, right? That is kind of what we talked about. What's your perspective? What's your vision, right? The things that you want to do, protecting that, because the world, as we know, is going to tell you that you shouldn't be doing this. You shouldn't be doing that. That's impossible. So it's about really protecting that. And then the last part is protect your soul. And that's the deep work of, you know, as I call it, soul fulfillment. That's the deep work of creating simple happiness. And where I learned that from is looking at my kids. I'm like, where did we get to where we made happiness so hard to obtain? Right? Like, we got to have all these things checked off to be happy. And if you look at the people who are have the most, and there's a thing with, like, you know, you happiness works off of what's happening. And I agree with that to an extent, but the kind of happiness I'm talking about is that internal happiness, that more like joy, that doesn't depend on what's happening in your life. So you look at your kids, and I call it morning Marley. So that's my baby girl. And I wrote this in the book because it was a morning, and she does this all the time. She came in our room and said, "It's morning, it's morning." She left up, but she was so happy it was morning. And it clicked, like, man, I want that type of joy where I just wake up and be happy that it's just morning time. And I just studied her and just watched her that whole day. And she just happy for the flowers and the things that as we grow up as adults, we overlook and we take for granted. And so the whole book is just really bringing people back home to their soul. And in such a chaotic world, I think Nipsey said it best, right? And I don't know if it's his quote, but I know that, you know, I saw the video and he said, you know, would you rather be at peace with the world and at war with yourself, or vice versa, be at peace with yourself and at war with the world? And that's what protecting your peace is all about in a nutshell. It's being at peace with yourself. No matter what's going on, you know, everything's going to be okay and work out.
Man, thank you, Trent. You are a blueprint, not to just respond to adversity one time or come back one time, but to make responding to adversity successfully a lifestyle, man. So appreciate the way that you just use your words and how impactful you are just as yourself. And thank you for your time, man. I know it's valuable and we appreciate you spending it with Donnie and I, but with everybody listening as well. So thank you, bro. Everybody that's listening, keep coming back, keep listening to us, because that's what we're going to do. That's who we are. And check us out anywhere you get your podcasts and download, and check us out on Inflection Point YouTube as well. And we'll see you guys again soon.
Yeah, and if you're not one of the millions of followers already following Trent Shelton, check him out. I think it's at Trent Shelton on all platforms, right?
Yes, sir. At Trent Shelton, man. I want to say I appreciate y'all for what y'all do and keep doing it. You guys share this podcast, share comeback stories, because this is very rare to have 2 guys like this really giving y'all nuggets and tools to really help your life. So thank you and salute to you guys for what y'all do.
Comeback Stories is a production of Inflection Network and iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.